to burn in the, you know, I think of Paul's reference, he uses a similar and let me see here. I'm going to check this real quick. And I... different word. Okay. Still, same concept. He says, this is not the same word for burn in Greek, but it's the same idea. It is burning. There it means like whatever, enkindling or whatever. But this is inflamed. Okay. Verse 27 of Romans 1 says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working there which is unseemly, blah, 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 blah. So again, there we have the idea of burning in lust. The thing is, and that's the thing, is like, you know, you're not, and I take that, that has to be the, you know, I think that has to be. Because that's all, you know, it's like people, if you are inflamed, you know, and lust and so on and so forth, that's the worst thing that's going to happen to you, you know, in this life. You're not going to burn in hell in this life, but you will burn in lust. And that will cause detriment to your soul. You will suffer for it. Certainly if you're a believer. Certainly if you like, if you at first dedicate yourself to God and the idea of being celibate and pure, and then turn, if you were to, from that, turn towards the using a prostitute or something like that, that's a pretty grievous sin, you know? And Paul wants us to avoid that. So it's better to marry than to burn in your lust one toward another. Because those are the options. You can marry or burn in lust. Which is, you know, which means, you know, and I don't mean, you know, can, what about, isn't this kind of the same when you marry? Yeah, but the point is, in marriage, it's a different story. The burning is always, you know, it's, it harkens back to Sodom and Gomorrah. They burned in their lust, and then God burned them to the ground. Now, today is not likely. Some fornicator isn't likely to explode into flames. And yeah, I know, in the end, fornicators are going to be thrown into the lake of fire, where they will be destroyed. But still, the immediate consequences are... what I think that's what Paul has in mind. And this I say by permission, co-knowledge, than by commandment. Okay. To the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. This is a commandment here. Let not the wife depart from her husband. So I object. You know, in Christianity, we are not supposed to depart from our spouses, right? Period. That's it. You know, the thing is, outside, let them that are out, they do what they want. I mean, you know, I'm not here to run everyone's life. I'm just saying, if you're going to follow Christ, don't leave your wife. Don't leave your husband. Now, if she depart, let her, now let's say, the husband beats the crap out of her. Okay? What he's saying is there is some sort of, you know, I could see her separate herself. Because the word depart is to be separate. You know what I mean? So if she has to separate from her husband because, let's say, oh, she might get killed. Or, you know, let's say the guy's a drunkard. He flies off in rage. He beats her frequently. She thinks he's going to kill her. She might need to separate herself. But then, if she's a Christian, she ought to remain unmarried or be reconciled with her husband. Then let the husband put away his wife. Same thing. Notice the husband can put away his wife. and the wife can depart from her husband. The scripture never speaks of a wife putting away her husband. Jesus never talked about a wife putting away her husband. Because back in those days, it was a woman could maybe leave her husband, but she couldn't divorce him. It wasn't done. There was no law by which women were able to do that. You know? Though it wasn't right for a man to do it either. There was, like Jesus said, Moses gave you certain regulations departing because he knew the hardness of your hearts. You know, if a man put away his wife, what the law was mostly punitive. Most of the laws concerning divorce is like, you know, concerning what the punishment is for a man for divorcing his wife. And if a man is a good Christian man in righteousness and uprightness and goodness, what woman would leave him? No, I know a lot of women today I've had women tell me that's like, well, if I was your wife, I'd divorce you. But, you know. A woman who is in love with a man, and he's a godly man, and a righteous man, she won't go away. If he treats her right, if he loves her as Christ loved the church, and vice versa, every man wants a good woman, you know. I told someone I was married, you know, someone said, what, you know, someone was talking about the women at the bars or something. I was like, yeah, well, women are, you know, like I made some commentary about, you know, how difficult it can be to find an appropriate spouse, and I was, except for mine, of course, I was talking up about her, and then he said, what did you do, marry a saint? And I said, yes, I did. And he wanted to know, well, where can I get one of those? Men want to be married to good women, you know? Women who are going to be true and good to them and serve them. Because a man, you know, women always expect men to serve them. And then when a man expects her to serve him, it's like, because of our modern sensibilities. And I don't mean like he should command her like she's some sort of slave. But I render service to you, and I expect you to render service to me. Not just in the, we were talking about that, the kindness that is due in bed and so on and so forth, but also,